Hello, everyone. Today we're here with Liz D'Alto. Liz is a speaker, writer, and the creator of Wild Soul Movement, a 12-week online experience of self-discovery that combines movement, meditation, and mantra. Her mission is to revolutionize the way women move and nourish their bodies and abolish current body image culture to create new standards for her peers, elders, and all the young women and little girls who come after her. She's known for her raw and honest approach to body love and self-acceptance. In 2013, Shape magazine listed her alongside Dr. Oz, Ellen, Jillian Michaels, Tim Ferriss, and more as a top 30 motivator. I reached out to Liz because I think she's amazing. Throughout the years, I've just seen her evolve herself and her business in major ways, and she's just always so real and transparent about where she is in life. She never tries to be anyone that she's not, and from my perspective, I just feel like she just pours her heart and her soul into everything that she puts out in the world, and I know you're going to love her. Liz, thanks for being here.
Thanks for that great intro.
Awesome. So the intention behind A Better Life is to show people that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, I would love if you can just take a minute to brag and just share with us some of the things that you have going on in your life right now that you're most proud of.
Oh, man. Well, number one would for sure be Wild Soul Movement. I worked for years kind of just throwing things up against the wall to see what would stick, and nothing was feeling like my life's work. And around 9 months ago, maybe a little more, like September of 2013, I went through a breakup. Like, I decided I was just going to burn down my whole business and start from scratch. And I found the thing. And so I'm proud of the creative process. I went all in. Like, I spent so much money. It was terrifying. I hired a creative director, like a real legit graphic designer, instead of, you know, what I used to do, which was just like outsourcing everything and trying to spend as little money as possible. I really decided for the first time ever to do whatever it takes. And it really paid off. I mean, not only is the website beautiful, but I'm so proud of the program. And I know you're in it. So I know you see, I don't know if you're in the Facebook group at all, but just like every single day to see these women like expanding, questioning, going into themselves, being supported, supporting each other. It's just super beautiful. So that is definitely the thing I'm most proud of right now.
I definitely don't blame you for being proud of it because I am in it. I'm in the Facebook group and I haven't been posting a ton, but it's amazing to see the evolution of these women in there and just the questions that you ask. And I just love how you created the whole program. It's like, I remember when I was going through the first one, you're like, you know, all you need to do is get through this first one because I know you're going to be hooked after that. You're going to love it. And it's totally true. Like, I was going through it and I was sweating and normally I'm like, ugh. But I'll do it anyway, but I'll just like kind of force myself. But with this, it was just like, it felt expanded. It felt really nice. Yeah. And so like you touched on, you know, you didn't just wake up with all these amazing accomplishments. It was, it was definitely something that you worked for. And I know you've just consistently evolved and re-evolved and just worked really hard. So when you think back to where it used to be with your business, do you have any kind of particularly notable time that you can think of where you felt like things just weren't going the way you wanted or you felt trapped and just kind of how you felt in that period and what was going on for you?
Yeah. So in 2011, I did Marie Forleo's Mastermind, which was an amazing, amazing experience for so many reasons, above and beyond what I learned about marketing and creating an online business, the relationships, the connections, just so much great stuff. And when the Mastermind wrapped up, I had just launched my first info product, and I was still doing strictly like health and fitness then, and it was called Tighter in 10 Days. And I've always been the type of person that doesn't want to just give people health and fitness. I want to encourage you to feel good on the inside as well. So I considered Tighter in 10 Days kind of like a Trojan horse. Like, I'm going to sell you what you want, but I'm also going to bake in some like some self-love, some body love in there too. And I did. And so I felt good about that. But over time, as I deepened my own practices and started studying more and exploring more of my own spirituality, the subtle body, energy work, and things like that, I started to become really uncomfortable with what I was selling and teaching. For part of that, I was still a personal trainer. And I was taking a lot of money from people to come in every week and work out when what they really needed to be doing was working in. Like, I was just seeing in my own life and in my clients' lives how we reach outside of ourselves all the time for the solutions when really what we need, it's like internal, these shifts, these things that we need to let go of. We need to forgive. all the stuff, there was actually a period of a solid, I want to say almost 2 years, when I just, the idea even of Tighter in 10 Days, even though from a marketing standpoint, it's a great name for a product, even just using the word tighter, when in my own life, I was all about expansion, just felt really conflicting to me. So I struggled a lot with allowing my intention to just be good enough when I didn't feel like my message was fully aligned with it. Does that make sense?
Oh, that totally makes sense. And I've been there too. And it's just like, well, I know for me, it manifested like when I was about to send emails or something, I'd get that whisper that was just like, this isn't right. Like, this isn't completely aligned. Is that how it felt for you? Or how did it feel for you? Like when you'd send emails and promote your course and stuff, like what were the thoughts going through your head?
Yeah, like I can't pinpoint the thought, but I'll tell you right now, it didn't feel easy and it didn't flow. And I didn't feel like super passionate like I do about Wild Soul Movement. I didn't feel like I can't not share this with the world, you know?
Totally, totally. So you obviously had to make some choices to get out of that whole tighter period and to get to where you are now. So I'd love to hear just about the mindset or the choices that you decided to make to get you to where you are now. And like, what did you tell or believe about yourself to get to where you are now?
I had to open myself up. And so who knows where I land on the scale of like woo-woo compared to some of the guests that you might have. But for me, I really had to open myself up and really start paying attention, seeking out and listening to like divine guidance. I don't know what other people believe in, but I certainly believe in a higher source. And I realized that to the extent that I could be connected to that source, everything that comes through me and my connection, my intuition, like is just going to be my guide. So ultimately I decided that I had to let my intuition be my business coach, because for a while, you know, coming out of like Marie's mastermind, and then I had so many friends who were just really successful, for lack of a better term, I'll just call them internet marketers. For a while, I was just trying to follow the mold and follow these strategies and do what everyone else was doing. And I know I'm smart. I know I'm a good communicator. I know I'm passionate. Like I know I have all this potential, but those strategies kept not working for me. And it wasn't even like fool me once, fool me twice. It was like fool me 3 to 5 times. And I'm like, damn it. All right. I'm going to have to do this my own way. And so I had to let go of everything I'd learned. Part of what was challenging was I'd invested so much money in some cases to learn all of these things and to be like, nah, like I'm just going to listen to something I already had all along, which is my own gut. That was the big shift that I had to make.
That's so crucial. That's such a good point. What was the path from when you were doing the Tighter in 10 Days to where you are now? What were like some of the things that were happening in your gut, like as you were just kind of opening and getting to where you are now?
So one of the things that happened is I did 2 levels of Reiki training, which is a form, I know you know what Reiki is, but if anyone listening doesn't, it's just a form of energy work. I decided I really wanted to start talking about it openly, not just letting it be something I do myself, but just adding that as a compliment to what I was already teaching. And so just to test it out, in January of 2013, I asked a friend of mine who's a Reiki master, who we were just really, really complimentary, if she wanted to put together a program with me. And we called it the Complete Body Program. And the whole idea was everything but fitness and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the subtle body. We taught about the chakras. We gave exercises for forgiveness and letting go and reprogramming and identifying limiting beliefs and establishing new ones. And we ran it twice last year. So that kind of bridged the gap for me when I got to actually test out my chops as a teacher of that material. And of course, you know, as soon as you decide to teach something, things in your life are going to happen to call you to deepen your own practices. It's like the universe says, oh, you think you're going to teach this? You better be on your A game, girl. And throw some shit at you that you're going to have to deal with. So that kind of helped me test the waters. And I also learned a really valuable lesson that part of why I wanted to partner with someone on that is because I was lonely. I am a huge extrovert and I'm spending all my time behind a computer. I had quit personal training. I wasn't doing live workshops or anything. And I love being with and in front of people, just connecting with other humans. And doing everything digitally was literally draining me. But it took me a while to realize that that's what was draining me. So it was an opportunity so the way we structured that was like live webinar boot camps. We had a Facebook group. So it just a lot more interaction with people was baked into that, which was helpful for me in terms of navigating how I wanted to do things and what felt good to me. And also taking that dive into teaching that kind of material and seeing the results and the impacts we were able to have. So that kind of bridged the gap for me and helped me to realize those two things. Number one, I don't want to work with a partner. And number two, this is the path I want to go on. So that really helped.
Awesome. So because this podcast is all about just people, like when they come against things that aren't necessarily the easiest, but then knowing that they have a choice to be able to overcome them, I'd love to hear like one of you said that sometimes like things were coming up for you to prove that you really wanted it and what you wanted to teach and stuff. Like, would you be open to just going over one of the things that happened and how you were able to get through it?
So I found myself in this position where, again, I was like smack dab in the middle of not knowing what the hell I wanted to do in my business. And luckily, I did really well promoting B-School as an affiliate for Marie Forleo. So I made a big chunk of cash that allowed me to just not really have to work last summer. And I know that that is not something that a lot of people listening to this might find themselves in a position to be able to not really work that much over the course of a couple months to figure things out. So I acknowledge that. But, you know, that was my blessing at the time. So that's what I did. And while that was all happening, I was really just discovering I had moved across the country to be with a guy I was dating. And it ended up just not being what I thought it was going to be. It was interesting because you think, oh, you're in a relationship, you're not lonely. I was more lonely during parts of that relationship than I'd ever been at any point when I was on my own. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting to discover and navigate. We were just such great friends. We had a great friendship before we started dating. And we had so much fun together. And it naturally evolved into a romantic relationship. But as it devolved from there, and we were able to break up in like the most loving and beautiful way. And it's months later now, we're actually both with new people and able to like catch up and like maintain our friendship. But that whole experience was tough because I was in this town in Southern California where I didn't know anyone but him and his family. And I felt super isolated. And being someone who, you know, I've always lived on the East Coast, I lived in New York City, I had so many friends there and my people, and I could go out and do things, and like that was my hood, to being in this place all by myself, not having any of my own kind of outlets and activities was tough. But what was great is I couldn't run. Mm-hmm. You know that saying when people say you take yourself with you wherever you go? So I was really forced to just be with myself, and it, as painful and hard and arduous as it was at times, it's definitely one of the most amazing things. I wouldn't change it. Even the times when I was literally like in the fetal position on the floor of my apartment crying, I would keep that too. Because one of the things that I allowed myself to do during that whole process and experience where everything was crumbling personally and professionally for me, it was the first time I ever gave myself permission to just feel all my feelings. Not have to be tough, not have to pretend it wasn't happening, just like own it. Mm-hmm. My friend Kate Northrup says you have to feel it to heal it. And I felt all that shit.
Wow.
And I became a much better processor of my feelings, emotions. And I think clearing all of that out really helped me to get to the place where I could be connected the way I needed to be to move into the next phase when I came out of that period.
That makes so much sense. And especially with what you're offering now with the Wild Soul Movement.
Yeah.
There is so much release there. And you can tell, like, you are such a good role model for just feeling and not numbing out and stuff. So that's amazing. And I can hear, like, how hard it would be for someone as extroverted as you being in a place all by yourself and having to kind of start from scratch and not having the, like, not knowing what you're going to do business-wise and just having kind of, like, everything around you kind of falling apart. Ugh.
So I've been working since I was 14 years old. And at a certain point, you're like, God damn, like, how hard do I have to work to figure out what the hell I'm supposed to be doing in this world?
Totally. I totally get it. Awesome. You say that you, like, definitely listening to your guidance is something that's really helpful for you. Do you meditate every day? Or how does that work for you? How do you tap in?
This is a great question. My communication comes to me through my body, not surprisingly. And so I do. I meditate at some point every single day, but my meditation probably doesn't look like what a lot of people think of when they assume meditation. It's very rare that I'm like sitting in silence just meditating. I might do that for like 5 minutes, but I'm more likely to turn on maybe some music. I really meditate through my senses. So feeling, seeing, touching, I love being in nature. To be honest, like sometimes all I might do in a day is walk outside and put my feet in the grass. And that was my meditation for the day because I felt like I tapped in, because to me, that's source energy too, you know? Sometimes it comes in the form of movement. It comes in the form, I pray a lot. I really enjoy prayer. I really enjoy working with, you know, archangels and different, at different points in time, different, you know, whatever you want to call them, deities, ascended masters. You know, some people might be tuning out as I'm talking about these things, and that's cool if it's not for you, but that's what really works for me, and that's what really helps me feel connected. Because what I realized during those moments when I was alone last year is that really I'm never alone. I might be surrounded by all these forces that I can't actually see, technically hear or touch, but they're there. And I get to go on the hunt for all the magic and the little signs that they're dropping around for me all the time, and just trust that however I choose to interpret it is what I need in that moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, like, one of the things that I live by is just that everything happens for your highest good. And,
yes.
You know, and even if it's not true, which I mean, I strongly believe it's true, but kind of like along the lines of what you're thinking, even or saying, even if it's not true, it's certainly not a bad thought to have, right?
Yeah.
It's only going to empower you.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to say that for the people that might be tuning out, you can totally take this to a level that you feel comfortable with, but just having any kind of empowering frame to view the world in is only going to support you.
And what's cool about that too, as a human, it just allows you to fully accept other people's beliefs as well and be like, cool, if that's what you dig and it makes you feel good and you feel like you have purpose and passion when you tap into that, please do. I do not need to agree with it.
Totally, totally. So are there other action steps or anything that you do to just constantly be making your life as full of ease as possible?
Yeah, I invite in ease. I set that intention and I live by my core desired feeling. So are you familiar with Danielle Laporte's desire? You are. You commented on my post in there, right?
I am, but I'd love to hear your interpretation for people listening.
Oh, this is amazing. Danielle Laporte's desire map is this framework where she helps you identify your core desired feelings. And again, might not be for everyone, but for me, I do great that way. Because what she says is, when you commit to feeling the way you want to feel, you become less attached to the form that things show up in. And for us as humans, so much of our suffering comes from our attachment to people, places, things, and outcomes. So in the fall, when I started working on Wild Soul Movement and creating it, my core desired feelings were connected, free, wildly feminine, and ease. And you can see it. It's all over Wild Soul Movement. That's what it's all about. I've since evolved a little into connected, turned on, wildly feminine, and generous. The reason why is because free and ease just became so natural all the time, part of my life. I didn't feel the need to be in pursuit of them all the time, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So what I love about that is, you know, some people might be familiar with the law of attraction. Technically, the desire map is law of attraction. Just the framework of it is something that people can connect to in a way more practical way than sometimes things like The Secret or maybe things like Abraham Hicks, where people are like, I'm not into that shit. So it's cool too, because every single day, instead of being like, oh man, I didn't accomplish anything today, you could check in with your core desired feelings and be like, do I feel connected, turned on, wildly feminine, and generous? It doesn't always have to be all of them. Maybe sometimes it's just one or two. But you're like, yeah, I do feel really connected today. Fantastic. Then there was a win, and you can celebrate something as opposed to just living your life by this checklist that you may or may not have crossed off enough things by your own standards on every day.
Yeah. Oh my, I love core desired feelings. I had some of my, just like, I kind of started discovering it even before she talked about it. And I had some just profound experiences with it. And I think, like you're saying, if you know how you want to feel, even if you don't necessarily meet the checklist things, like at the end of your life, if you're on your deathbed and you're looking back and you see that you felt the way that you wanted to feel, that's going to be way more important than the checklist. And I think using those feelings as a barometer of how your day was is just such a great way to look at life. And I think it just makes living life so much easier.
Totally. And the things you attract when you are constantly pursuing the feelings that you want to feel are totally in alignment with what you want. Like, I look at, again, nothing wrong with my ex. He's amazing. We were not a good fit. It actually brings me so much joy to see him like so happy with this new woman, because I'm like, he was great. I couldn't be the person that like would make him happy. And so my new partner is also just like so amazing for me, such a good fit. And it's so cool because it's kind of like the belief thing. It also gives you permission to be like, you know what? Some people, places, things, whatever, are just not my vibe. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. I'm not judging them or that thing. It just was not for me. And that's totally cool. And it makes it really easy to be like, oh, great. Like, I don't need that. And I can also drop shoulds and expectations, because if things aren't lined up with my core desired feelings, then they're just not for me.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. It's such a good way. Like, if anyone's in a relationship or anything where they're just not sure, if they don't have clarity, if it's the right thing for them to be or not, it's just such a good checkpoint to be able to match up again. Like you're saying, like, am I feeling the way that I want to be feeling? Yes or no? And then it's an easy decision.
Yeah, and it's cool too, because I picked a word for 2014. And this is the first time I've ever done that, you know, where people are like, pick your theme word for the year, that I've ever picked it and stuck with it. And like, I couldn't even tell you what my word for 2013 was, but my word for 2014 is discernment. Mm. And I posted something the other day about how I think finish what you start is one of the worst pieces of advice out there, because you end up with a lot of people forcing themselves to complete stuff that isn't aligned with who they are or what they want to be doing, because they feel like it's out of integrity to quit or break a commitment. And what's cool about your core desired feelings is, again, when that's your barometer, you can quit with compassion and love for yourself and other people involved when things aren't serving you, and then not drain yourself. But also, in terms of discernment, you can decide ahead of time what to commit to and what not to, because you're like, oh, now I have this system to check in with these four feelings. And sometimes I still don't, right? I'll like say yes to something and not really check in. And those are usually the things I end up canceling.
Totally. I love it. And I just, the other thing that I love about it is when you have the feelings, like you're saying, and you have that checkpoint, it really helps you not have to live to other people's standards. It's like you really get to come home. Just amazing. So that's fabulous. And that's one of the things that I love about you, is you have these kind of blog posts and the things like, I don't like this advice. It sucks. And here's why.
Yeah. And some people do. And that's cool. I think also, I think I might have already said this, but the biggest thing I let go of was needing anyone to agree with me or feeling like I need to agree with anyone else.
Love it. Love it. And I'd love to hear, in the personal development world, there's all kinds of like advice and people will paint these like pretty pictures and stuff about it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear, what's something that you think that most people don't share about improving yourself? Like, either it's not sexy or it just doesn't paint that rainbows and butterfly kind of picture. Like, what's something real that you've discovered about personal development that isn't as nice as it might people think?
This is funny because I just posted this somewhere this morning. I might have been on Instagram. Shit has to get really messy often before it gets really good. Mm-hmm. And lots of times when people are sharing, they're sharing when it has become good. I agree with that in the sense of, personally, I know some people like to share things in real time as they're going through it. I don't, because I think we all need perspective. I like to wait until I've gotten on the other side of something enough before I'm actually going to reflect back, talk, share on it, or use it as a teaching point. That's just my preference. However, I love to share the journey and where I was, kind of like a lot of this conversation. I think it's really important. You know, you've seen these quotes everywhere, like, don't compare your current to someone else's highlight reel. But we do this. I think there is some science to that's how the human brain works. Like, we like to compare things. We're very relational in our minds. This relates to that. And so I even remember someone in the past saying to me, you know, you should be the Marie Forleo of fitness. and me being like, well, first of all, I'll just be the Liz D'Alto of whatever I decide to do. But second of all, I would sometimes compare myself to Marie Forleo because our personalities are very similar. That's why I was drawn to her as my coach. But, you know, Marie has been busting her ass for over a decade. So it was completely unreasonable for me at year two in my business to be comparing myself to her in year like 8, 9, or 10. So I don't think people put enough emphasis on, like, the journey can be really messy, but also the concept of ebb and flow. Even the people that, you know, I wrote a blog post several months ago about when we put people on pedestals, it keeps us below them. In order for, like, our favorite writers, speakers, the gurus we learn from, to keep them, for them to be the guru, it means we still have to be the student. So that was part of my process too, taking all, even Marie Forleo, Danielle Laporte, taking these people off the pedestals and actually owning that I could be a peer and I needed to behave as such and write as such and share and create as such. Even those people, even if they don't always talk about it all the time, and interestingly enough, Danielle Laporte, right before I hopped on this, had just posted this blog post about like going through the fire. It's ebb and flow. Even the most successful, most amazing, the happiest people you meet, they go through the shit storm too. They just might not always talk about it. Like, it's ebb and flow for a reason. It just, no one is in constant flow. It's just not how it works.
I think that is such good advice. As you were talking, I was just nodding and nodding and nodding. It's not video, but yeah, like, preach it. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And in that flow, like, I just want to be real with our listeners. And so we never stop evolving. What's something currently that you're working through in your life right now, and how are you getting through it?
This is a great question. I have a really challenging relationship with someone in my family who I'm really close with. We completely don't see eye to eye. And so one of the challenges when you choose for, again, lack of a better term, I'm just going to call it to live a conscious, awake lifestyle and go inward and examine yourself and grow personally, no matter what that looks like for you. Some of the closest people in your life are just not going to evolve with you, which is going to make communication with them tough. And this is going to be your biggest call. It's been my biggest call to stay in the place of love and compassion, for accepting and loving people exactly as they are, for who they are. I mentioned earlier coming to a place where I don't need people to agree with me and I don't need to agree with them to have a great relationship or to love them. But there are some people where it's like, although I don't need you to agree with me and we don't, I also just can't spend that much time with you, you know? And those are such hard choices to make. They come laden with guilt because so many of us are raised like with this idea of obligation and duty, and to shed those things is a big challenge.
And I like how you're saying that you're not making them wrong about it. You're just using your word, discernment.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. For people who are listening now, who might be inspired by you, maybe it's they're in a relationship that they're getting over a breakup, or they want to get more into their core purpose, or anything that you've said. You've said so many things that can inspire people. Maybe they're listening and they're still kind of feeling scared to make changes in their own life. Maybe they don't want to upset the apple cart, or it's just scary. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who is kind of like peering at wanting to make changes, but just a little scared to do so?
This is a perfect question because we're just getting into week 3 of Wild Soul Movement, and the last 2 weeks have been all about letting go. And it's funny because people are so scared to let go, because we only know who we are with our stories and with our past bullshit that we all deal with. And so if you're just beginning, and if you're standing in a place of being like, God, where do I even begin? Number one, it doesn't matter. Whatever you choose is going to be the perfect place for you to start. And number two, think in terms of small incremental change over time. Everyone wants to like transform overnight, and it just does not happen that way. In some cases, it takes way longer than you could ever imagine. So just prepare yourself to just be really nice to yourself throughout the process, no matter how it looks, and don't have any expectation that your process is going to look like anyone else's, because it really is quite different for everyone.
Perfect. And what would you say now to someone who's kind of feeling trapped by their circumstances right now?
That's a really good question. You know, it's tough to say this, so even though you don't know me, I wrap it in like a big hug. You created that yourself. Somehow you wanted that, And so if you can find the gifts in that situation, it would be, that's how it can serve you. That's how you can find a way to appreciate even being trapped, even feeling like absolute crap, like there's nothing you can do. Like there is always something you could do. There's something there. Like you're there right now because there's something you need to learn to get yourself the hell out of there. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're all saying that we both kind of live by that everything happens for your highest good. And that sounds like it's kind of correlating exactly to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's definitely something there for you. I love it.
Yeah. And so one way I frame that sometimes is this: we can look at whatever's going on in our life like a victim and be like, oh, why is this happening?